भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 44 टेक्स्ट नंबर 39 टुडे स नित्य उद्विग्न धिया तम ईश्वरं पिबन अदन वा विचरन स्वपन श्वसन ददर्श चक्र आयुधम अग्रतः यतः तत् एव रूपं दुर्वापं आप सनित्यो सनित्यदोद्विग्न धियातमीश्वरम् सनित्यदोद्विग्न धियातमीश्वरम् पीबन अदन वा विचरन स्वपन श्वसन ददर्श चक्रायुधमग्रतो यतस् तदेव रूपं दुर्वापमाप स नित्यदोद्विग्न धियातमीश्वरम् पीबन अदन वा विचरन् स्वपन श्वसन् ददर्श चक्रायुधमग्रतो यतस् तदेव रूपं दुर्वापमाप स नित्यदोद्विग्न धियातमीश्वरम् पीबन् अदन् वा विचरन् स्वपन् श्वसन् ददर्श चक्रायुधमग्रतो यतस् तदेव रूपं दुर्वापमाप ददर्श चक्रायुधमग्रतो यतस्
माताजीस सनित्यदोद्विग्न धियातमीश्वरम् पीबन अदन वा विचरन स्वपन श्वसन शचक्रायुधमग्रतो यतस् तदेव रूपं दुर्वापमाप वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन सह ही कंस नित्यदा कॉन्स्टेंटली Udvigna, anxious. Dhiya, with mind. Tam, him. Ishwaram, the Supreme Lord. Piban, while drinking. Adan, eating. Va, or. Vicharan, walking. Swapan, sleeping. Shvasan, breathing. Dadarsha, saw. Chakra, the disc weapon. Ayodham, in his hand. Agrataha, before himself. Yataha, because. Dat, that. Eva, same. Rupam, personal form. Duravapam, very difficult to achieve. Apa, he achieved. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Kamsa had always been disturbed by the thought that the Supreme Lord was about to kill him. Therefore, when drinking, eating, moving about, sleeping, or simply breathing, the king had always seen the Lord before him with the disc weapon in his hand. Thus, Kamsa achieved the rare boon of attaining a form like the Lord's. Purport. Although born out of fear, Kamsa's constant meditation on the Supreme Lord eradicated all his offenses, and therefore the demon was liberated upon his death at the Lord's hands. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya
ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
So we are speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is the time when the mission of Lord Shri Krishna, for which he appeared, is getting fulfilled. So in today's shloka, it is described the wonderful effect of Kamsa's meditation on the Supreme Lord. Before beginning to speak on this meditation on the Supreme Lord, we would like to seek the blessings of all the devotees, especially the senior devotees. As we are discussing Kamsa's meditation on the Supreme Lord, we can also discuss about somebody else's meditation on the Supreme Lord. So Srila Satyavrata Muni, in his prayers to Lord Damodar, he says, Sada me manasya avirastam kim anyai. Oh my dear Lord Damodar, may your form be eternally manifest in my heart. Kim anyai? What is the use of any other boon? I don't want moksham. I don't want liberation. I don't even want mokshavadi. Mokshavadi means the highest liberation, not just impersonal liberation, but personal liberation. I don't even want to go to Vaikuntha planets. Just want to meditate on your form. So Kamsa is meditating, Satyavrata Muni is meditating. Srila Sanatan Goswami in his commentary to this shloka, he says, this attitude as stated by Satyavrata Muni is only possible if somebody is totally absorbed in thinking of Lord Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes. Such an exalted state. There is an interesting story because we are discussing about meditation from the life of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So one day Raghunath Das Goswami in his meditation, we know about the story of a Brahman mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. He used to offer worship to the Supreme Lord every day. He used to offer sweet rice to the Lord. And one day he wanted to test whether it is too hot. So he touched it with his finger and he got a scalded finger. He got a burn mark. Similarly, in the life of Raghunath Das Goswami, there is a story that is mentioned. One day he offered sweet rice to the Supreme Lord. There was milk and there was rice. And he consumed it. But what was the regular diet of Raghunath Das Goswami? 1 cup of buttermilk in 3 days. So it is explained that he started feeling heavy. He started feeling a feeling of indigestion. Now he has eaten that mentally. Actually he started suffering. And then some devotees, they brought a vaidya to inspect. He checked the pulse of Raghunath Das Goswami and he said he is suffering from indigestion, especially the indigestion that is formed when you take milk and rice and you don't have the digestive power. So the devotees said, it is impossible. You have to recheck analysis. Raghunath Das Goswami, how can you even say like this? He just takes a palmful of buttermilk. But then Raghunath Das Goswami revealed, yes, he said, mentally I offered to Krishna. And I had a little bit of that. And that caused him physical indigestion. So this is the power when somebody meditates on the Supreme Lord sincerely. This is something that can happen to him. Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting us 2 concepts of meditation. They present to us the devotee's meditation, the Vrajvasi's meditation. We are in the 10th canto. The Vrajvasi's who were meditating out of a deep intention to please Krishna. And we have Kamsa. For the last few days we are meditating on how Kamsa is meditating. How to harm Krishna. What is Krishna's response? Let's consider the Vrajvasis. The Vrajvasis are so simple. When Krishna and Balaram are invited to a wrestling match, Nanda Maharaj and all the Gopa friends, they also come. They are coming to Mathura
in order to carry out the order of their king, Kamsa, they bring milk products. They bring, that is their wealth. So they bring those products to give to Kamsa. And what is the purpose? Why has this event been scheduled? There is a grand wrestling match arranged between Krishna and Balram and Chanur and Mushtik. Don't the Vrajavasis understand this? It is straight violence against their darlings, Krishna and Balram. The cyanosure of their eyes, everywhere they look in Vrindavan, they just see Krishna and Balram. And Kamsa has called them to Mathura for the explicit purpose of killing them. But the Vrajavasis are so simple. They say, alright, Akrura is taking them, we will also go. And when they go, they are carrying gifts for Kamsa and they actually present those gifts to Kamsa. He is our ruler, we have to pay our taxes to them. This is the simplicity of the Vrajavasis. They dare not rebel against their king. It is described that when Akrura took Krishna and Balram, because of the pain that Yashodamai and Nanda Maharaj were feeling, and it reflected on Krishna, Krishna is thinking, 11 years I was with them, they surrendered everything that they had and more for me. He was also feeling the same pain that they were feeling. So it is described some 2 or 3 kilometers on the journey, Krishna cannot control himself and he sends a messenger back to Yashodamai and says, for the first time I am going so far away from Vrindavan, I may get hungry on the journey. Can you send something? And this messenger reaches Yashodamai and Yashodamai cooks some milk and rice for Krishna and Balram and sends it. So when they reach Mathura, the first day they reach and Krishna decides to tour Mathura. And then he meets the Rajaka, the washerman, the dyer. He meets Sudama, the florist. He meets Kubja. After all that has happened, he is tired. Meanwhile, Akrur has passed on the news to Kamsa. You sent me for a mission. I have brought them to Mathura. So that night, Kamsa had a sleepless night. It was self-invited. He had a breakdown. This was the worst case of insomnia. Generally for us, it is described how when we sit for the Bhagavatam class and the mantra is chanted, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then that is a call to us, slowly doze off. Only a few fortunate can stay awake during the Bhagavatam class. And the wake-up call, one devotee was explaining, is Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, the end of the Bhagavatam class. So when the discussion about Krishna is starting, you know, we are going to sleep. And Kamsa, when he heard that Krishna and Balram have come, he lost his sleep. What happened to Krishna and Balram? That night, Krishna and Balram slept peacefully after eating that sweet rice prepared by Yashodamai. When Akrur brought Krishna and Balram to Mathura, he asked Krishna and Balram, please come to my home. Krishna and Balram said, yes, yes. But actually their meaning was, no, no. Because Krishna said, I have come here for a mission. I have not come here for a stroll. I have come here to kill the enemy of the Yadus. So first, I will kill him. After that, I will visit your home. And then later, yes, Krishna visited Akrur. So think about it. When Akrur invites Krishna to his home, out of love, Krishna says, no, mission first, pleasure later. But for Yashodamai, even though Krishna has left the Vrajavasis, he is on a mission, the same mission which stopped him from visiting and reciprocating with Akrur, but he stops the mission and sends a message to Yashodamai, I want something. This is his love for the Vrajavasis. When Akrur is calling him to his home, he says, no, I am here for a purpose. Now nothing can wait. The purpose has to be achieved first. But his love for the Vrajavasis is so much, he sends a message to Yashodamai and interrupts his mission. This is the difference between the Vrajavasi's love and meditation for Krishna and other people's love and meditation on Krishna. For the Vrajavasi's, everything else can wait. For anybody else, no waiting necessary. So the mission has been going on for some time. Krishna spent 2 days in Mathura before he came to the wrestling arena. So what happened then? If he is on such a mission that he cannot even go to Akrura's home, why did he not just enter Mathura and kill Kamsa? When did Krishna actually take the decision, this is it, now or never, now I am going to kill him? When did it happen? This was announced on the day of Devaki and Vasudev's marriage, that Krishna will descend and kill. What took him so long? So we'll discuss a little bit about that also. When Krishna enters the wrestling arena, he has already killed Kuvalaya Peed. But not to be outdone, Kamsa has hired the best wrestlers to kill Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram prove their valor, their courage in fighting even with these. Still, there is no mention that Krishna is now planning. Okay, now enough. He sent Kuvalaya Peed to greet me, such a mighty elephant to greet me. He sent Chanur, Mushtik, Shal, Toshal, Koot to welcome me. Is this the way to welcome? Now this is enough. No, there is no mention like this. In fact, it is mentioned after these 5 wrestlers are killed, Krishna invites his boyfriends to play on the wrestling arena and they have some kind of fun on the wrestling arena right before Kamsa. So when is that moment when Krishna decided, Kamsa, I'm going to kill you? That moment is when Krishna's pure devotees, the Vrajvasis, were threatened by Kamsa. So the cowherd boyfriends come and they play, but at one point of time, seeing their play and seeing all the series of events that has happened, Kamsa becomes enraged. He gets up. He says, stop this music. These 2 sons of Vasudev drive them out of Mathura. Kill Vasudev. Capture Nanda Maharaj. All these cowherd men that have come from Vrindavan, take away all their riches. Ugrasen, he is also one who supported this whole thing. Kill him also. So this is the turning point where Krishna says, I spent time in Vrindavan, but life went on. There were demons coming. But Krishna never said, why is he sending Agasura to kill me? Why is he sending Bakasura to kill me? Why is he sending Putana to kill me? Enough of this. I'm going to end this. And he said, all right. Life is going on. When he comes to Mathura, he kills the washerman. He rewards the florist. Life goes on. When does Krishna think enough is enough? It is not when he is harmed. It is not when an attempt is made to kill him. It is when an attempt, an order is passed to kill his pure devotees. So till now, Krishna has been attacked, but the devotees were never attacked. One time when the devotees were attacked by Indra, Indra got a sufficient lesson. At other times, all these demons who came to Vrindavan, Krishna was the object of their envy, not the Vrajvasis. This time, Kamsa, right in front, imagine his audacity, right in front of Krishna, he says, kill Vasudev, kill Ugrasen, take away the riches of all the Vrajvasis, imprison Nanda Maharaj, he is also a cheater. Krishna says, this is enough. Immediately it is described, he sprung up, caught hold of Kamsa, threw him down, killed him. So who is this person called Krishna? It is very important for us to understand. If we have the standard conception of a powerful person does not accept, does not tolerate any attack on himself. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna says, you want to attack me, you want to kill me. If it is just between you and me, I am willing to give you a benefit for that. Putana came to kill Krishna. Krishna just took the good part and gave her the position of a nursemaid. But when Kamsa, he says, not you now. First I am going to harm right in front of you, your devotees. Krishna says, this is it. This is your invitation to death. And Krishna does the needful. So Lord Shri Brahma, he is explaining in the Srimad Bhagavatam one beautiful sloka which will help us understand the nature of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So he says, Yathagnim edhasi amritam cha goshu. So he's giving 4 examples here, which we'll explain in English. We are just checking out the shloka. This is 8.6.12. Bhuvi annam ambudyamane cha vrittim yogair manushya adhiyanti hitvam Guneshu Buddhya Kavayo Vadanti. The English translation is, as one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of the cow, food grains and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood from industrial enterprises, so, by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this. So here we are talking of Kamsa approaching Krishna, Satyavrat Muni approaching Krishna, the Vrajavasis approaching Krishna, Akrura approaching Krishna. One interesting point here that Brahmaji mentions is, one can achieve your favor by intelligently approaching you. One should know how to approach Krishna. Who is this person? What is his nature? What is his dislikes? What is his likes? So, because four things were mentioned, we'll discuss a little bit about this. If a person wants to have some milk, it is not just sufficient to desire to have milk. He should know from where is milk produced. Somebody may say, this is a cow and she gives milk. But when you look at a cow, there is no apparent source of milk. We are used to source of a liquid in the form of a tap. Those of us who stay in the city, we open a tap and water flows out. So we look for a tap, there is no tap. Imagine a person who's totally ignorant, who's never seen a cow, who's always eaten milk from that milk sachet, born in the city. He does not know what is the source of the milk. So in the current advertising industry, sometimes to advertise milk, it's possible that they keep the cow out of the picture. So a small boy who's grown up in the city, he never sees a cow being milked. So somebody tells him, cow gives us milk. So first of all, that is a culture shock for him. It's not the sachet that is dropped at home by the milkman. And then when he looks at a cow, there is no tap. Usually you open a tap and milk starts, the liquid starts flowing. It means you have to approach a person. You have to approach the milkman and ask him, I heard that the milk is gotten from the cow. How do you do it? And he'll explain you. There is a process to hear and then learn. Similarly, when we want to approach Krishna, we might end up approaching Krishna like Kamsa. Or if we learn properly, we might end up approaching Krishna as the devotees and we'll actually approach Krishna in the right way. Just like the diseased eyes get cured when you put medicine, similarly our material ignorance goes down when we hear and we learn properly from the authorities. Srila Jiva Goswami in the Tattva Sandarbha gives an example. He says, imagine a person who's always been confined in a small room, a dark room. He's never seen the sun outside. For him, when somebody talks of light, when somebody talks of dark, when somebody talks of the sun, there are a few cracks, there are a few sources, there are a few gaps in the windows or maybe some holes in the wooden door, and that is from where a streak of light comes in. So something that dispels the darkness in the room is very amazing for him. For him, darkness fills up the room, but from a small crack, light comes and it illuminates the entire room. It is really amazing for him. And then when somebody tells him, you know what, this small streak of light that is coming in, that has the power to brighten up, not completely, but to a little extent, the entire room, is actually nothing. This is one or two small rays from the infinite sun. He says, how is it possible? How is it possible that there is an infinite source of light and a small fraction of that sun's rays can brighten up my room, which is full of darkness for years together? Similarly, Srila Jiva Goswami says, when we hear of a powerful person, we have certain conceptions how a powerful person behaves. What is the nature of a powerful person? But when we are talking of the Supreme Lord, this conception is not enough. We are superimposing our ideas on the Supreme Lord. That will not do us any good. Just like the mighty sun is impossible to fathom, to fit in our understanding on our own strength, similarly to understand the true nature of the Supreme Lord is impossible. We can just get a glimpse of his power, just like this man understands the power of the sun by a streak of light. The four examples that were explained by Lord Brahma, they have a significance. Why Lord Brahma chooses these four examples? The firewood example is We get firewood when we rub two sticks of wood against each other. Similarly, Lord Brahma is saying, when we hear from proper bona fide devotees, they speak in such a way that they kindle our mind. There is a rubbing of different thoughts in the mind. When we hear from exalted devotees, we hear not just the details of the story, but we hear the concepts, the principles behind the story. When somebody who is a beginner speaks, it's not a fault, that is where he is. He speaks more of the stories, he speaks more of, you know, the details that are mentioned. It is difficult for him to explain it in a larger context. But when an exalted devotee speaks, he speaks the pastimes, but with every small thing, he also helps us understand what to learn from that pastime, what is the lesson in our life from that small, simple looking story. There are principles that are taught. So when we read a story, it's like a very nice, amusing story. But when some pure devotee speaks on it, there is so much to learn, and sometimes we are amazed how such a simple looking story had eternal lessons for us. So the example of firewood is to explain how a person who knows how to derive fire from wood, it is there inside the wood. It is just a question of igniting it. Similarly, when a pure devotee speaks, when exalted spiritual masters speak, they agitate the mind in a positive way, and the person starts thinking, he said this and then he also said this, so how to reconcile it, how to understand it. Yes, you cannot go away from an exalted devotee's class with the same state of mental condition as you were before you entered the class, is it not? There's so much that he has added, there is so much that is, the surface has been ruffled. So that is why Lord Brahma gives the example that just like you have to learn how to take the fire from the wood, you should approach somebody and learn from him how to approach the Supreme Lord. The second example that he gave was how to take milk from the cow. So that example is given to us to help us understand the milk from the cow. Actually, it's very difficult to draw milk. But bring a calf and seeing the calf, first allowing the calf to feed itself from the cow, milk starts pouring from the udders. Milk starts flowing from the udders. So that example is given to help us understand. If you want to approach the Supreme Lord, and if you try to approach directly, difficult to get it, get the help of some devotee who has affection for the Lord, and the Lord has affection for the devotee. Just like the calf has affection for the cow and the cow has affection for the calf, milk will start pouring. Devotional service, love for Krishna will start pouring. The third example that is given is food from the ground. If you look at the ground, you don't see any food. You have to put seeds, then water it, have some patience, and at one point of time it sprouts. And that one seed gives rise to hundreds and thousands of seeds on the same stalk. You put one seed, you get one stalk of rice. On that rice is thousands of grains of rice, each one capable of again sprouting. Similarly, that example is given to help us understand, unless you have a seed, you cannot get further seeds. You want rice seeds, but at least you have to have one seed and you have to borrow it from somebody. You cannot manufacture the rice seed in some factory. Similarly, Lord Brahma is telling, if we want to prosper in bhakti, it is a gift. Devotional service is not to be earned. Devotional service is a gift. When we please somebody, when we serve somebody, it is a gift that is given to us. It is not something that we can earn. And the fourth is that you do something, prosperity from business. So there the understanding is, all of us should engage all our skills in the service of the Lord. If you are a singer, sing for the Lord. If you are a dancer, dance for the Lord. Whatever you have, engage it in the service of the Lord. That is counted as deity worship. So the example that Lord Brahma is giving is, many people, they learn how to worship the Lord and get the favor of the Lord. So simply by offering whatever little we know, whatever little we can, our skills, our money, whatever little, whatever more we have, we can get mercy from the Lord. These are the four examples that Lord Brahma gives. We'll go to a slightly different topic and then at the end we'll connect all these topics. We are talking of Kamsa meditating on the Lord in the mood of an enemy. There was one more person who always meditated on the Supreme Lord in the mood of an enemy. Shishupal. Right from his first breath to the last breath, he always maintained enmity towards the Supreme Lord. When he was killed in the Rajasuya Yajna, what was his destination? In front of everyone, as the Sudarshan Chakra chopped off Shishupal's head, the spirit soul of Shishupal, everyone is watching. It comes and it enters the Supreme Lord's body. He got impersonal liberation. He did not maintain his existence after that. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it is mentioned there were soldiers fighting against the Pandavas. So they had the supreme fortune of seeing the beautiful face of Krishna even as they are fighting with Arjun. Most of these soldiers, they did not have any enmity with Krishna or Arjun. They were just employees. Employees of a cruel master. So because the kings to whom they belonged, they had enmity with Arjun and Krishna. They were part of the battle. They themselves did not have any enmity. Neither they loved Krishna. They had a neutral attitude towards Krishna. But on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when they looked at Krishna, the beautiful, charming face of Krishna melted their heart. And from a neutral attitude, they became slightly attracted to Krishna. They became devotees of Krishna to some extent. So it is mentioned, when they died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, even though they are on the side of Adharma, because of that slight attraction to Krishna, Krishna gave them personal liberation. They got the final destination as Vaikuntha planets, where the Supreme Lord is worshipped in his plenary portions as Lord Narayan in awe and reverence. So, those who have even a little bit favorable attitude, they are deprived of their earned destination of the impersonal liberation. Actually, they earn it. Yes? But Krishna says, no, you had a favorable attitude. Not allowed. You have to get personal liberation. Aghasur came to kill Krishna, but as he was there and he saw all the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna frolicking and having fun, for a moment it is mentioned, he appreciated the friends of Krishna. So how fortunate they are that they are having a nice time with Krishna. When they were playing, he appreciated. Sometimes, you know, we look at kids playing, having a nice time and we say, how nice, how amazing, how fortunate they are. So similarly, Aghasur, he came to kill Krishna, but he saw the cowherd boyfriends of Krishna playing. For a moment, it is said, he appreciated, he got personal liberation. Yes? How do we prevent ourselves from having an inimical attitude to Krishna? How we prevent ourselves from having a negative attitude towards Krishna? Because this person, even if you come with an intention to kill him, you are on his opposite side, but develop a slight positive attitude towards him, he says, you go to the supreme destination. It is so important for us to understand how to approach him and how to not displease him in any way. Many times in the Gita, you will observe that Krishna says, please offer to me what you do. Please offer to me your puja. Please offer to me your charity. Two places in the Gita, he says, he puts the mana and the buddhi together. So one in 8.7, he says, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmara yudhyacha mayarpita mano buddhir ma mevaishasya samshaya. And in 12.14, he says, santushta satatam yogi yatatma dridha nishchaya mayarpita mano buddhir yomad bhakta same priya. So we wanted to focus in the context of today's class. Many times we feel when we become a devotee of Krishna, we should offer a mind to Krishna. We should love Krishna. So loving is with the mind. But interestingly, quite at some places, Krishna uses mana and buddhi together. He wants us to offer the mind and the intelligence together. He does not want us to just offer the mind and not offer the intelligence. There is a purpose. The mind is a godown of impressions. As we are traveling around in this world, we see some things, we hear some things, and all that is stored. The five Gyanendriyas are working 24/7, supplying impressions to the mind. It's a big stock of impressions. Some are good, some are not good, some are favorable, some are not favorable. Some will help us, some will destroy us. And there is a chance that we would get some destination like Shishupal, although born in the family of Krishna, having a negative attitude. So that's why Krishna says, don't just offer your mind to me, please also offer the intelligence to me. Intelligence has a special function. Intelligence has the function of deliberation. Intelligence has the function of choosing from a set of choices. So yes, the mind will give us unlimited impressions. Maybe you can do this, maybe you can do this. But the intelligence, if we are conscious, I don't want to offer just my mind to Krishna. I will use my intelligence. The intelligence chooses what is better. So, the mind is reflective. But the intelligence is determinative. It determines what is better for us. This is how we can understand which is the right way to approach Krishna. So when the spiritual master, we hear from him, and the four effects happen when we hear from him, then the intelligence is refined. Then we know how to approach Krishna and how to get the supreme destination from Krishna. This is what will distinguish our destination. So today is the auspicious day of Akshaya Tritiya. When Durvasa Muni came to the Pandavas, they had an Akshaya Patra. And Duryodhan's special mission was to embarrass the Pandavas. And when you embarrass somebody like Durvasa Muni, doom is certain. Because it's very unpredictable. What will spark off the anger in him, you don't know. So when Durvasa Muni agreed, yes, I will go to the Pandavas in exile, visit them, Duryodhan came to his friends and said, success, done. Because when Durvasa Muni says, I'll visit the Pandavas, something goes wrong, and usually in a forest you don't have much facilities to serve somebody, to please somebody. Duryodhan, rest assured, they are doomed. And the hope was that the Akshaya Patra given to them by the sun god, it would come to the rescue. But as the series of events happened, Draupadi had already taken her meals, and that's why the Akshaya Patra failed. In such a moment of distress, the Supreme Lord comes there and says, alright, do you have a little bit to offer me? So they say, we all had our meals, we finished off everything. Krishna says, no, just check in the vessel if there is a little bit, and they find one small speck of a grain. And Krishna says, wow, this is too much for me, this is sufficient for me. He takes it, he's full, and they are saved from the calamity. Durvasa Muni, yasmin tushte, jagat tushtam. If you satisfy Krishna, everyone else is satisfied. Durvasa Muni and all his disciples who are bathing in the river before their lunch, they suddenly start giving off burps. Their stomach is full. So usually people look at an auspicious muhurta, and it is said today is one of the most auspicious days. There is no need to check for an auspicious timing. Right from the morning to the evening, everything is auspicious. But there are situations when something which is akshaya, Akshaya means it will never go down. It will never betray you. There can be an event when that Akshaya Patra can give you Kshaya. It could not save the Pandavas. But in that situation where the Akshaya Patra could have caused the Kshaya of the Pandavas, it is the Supreme Lord who came to the rescue on his own and saved them from the calamity. So what is actually Akshaya? The real Akshaya in our life is the presence of the Lord. If we are favorable, inclined to Him, if we are always meditating in the proper way on Him. So what better way, what better occasion to start our rededication to Krishna, our rededication to hearing from the sadhus, our rededication to understand there are many ways to approach Krishna, and it is Krishna's kindness that He sees the good in us, but we dare not take advantage of this quality of Krishna, that He sees only a tiny good thing in us and He neglects the bad. Better is we reform ourselves, we improve ourselves and approach Krishna with anything and everything that we have in a favorable mood. So this is where we will end the class. We'll just quickly see what we discussed from the beginning. First we saw how Kamsa is meditating, Satyavrat Muni is meditating, then we saw the story about Raghunath Das Goswami's meditation. Then we saw how there are two ways to meditate on Krishna, the Vrajvasis and Kamsa. Krishna stopped his mission to go to Mathura and asked for sweet rice from Yashoda. This is his love for Yashoda. But when Akrur says, come to my home, he says, no, mission first. It means he has a lot of love for the Vrajvasis. And this is reflected when, even though so many years passed, Krishna never resolved to kill Kamsa. He resolved to kill Kamsa only when he attacked his devotees. So this is his love for his devotees. It means we should understand how to approach Krishna. So how to approach Krishna? We saw the four examples taught by Lord Brahma and they had their individual lessons. And then at the end we saw how there are different goals for different people. The soldiers on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they attained personal liberation. Shishupal attained impersonal liberation. And Kamsa here has attained personal liberation. How to understand where we will go? The path is clear. Whom we follow, we will get that destination. And at the end we saw how on the day of Akshaya Tritiya, the word Akshaya means something that will not go down. And we want to start off new things on Akshaya Tritiya. But we saw how even the Akshaya Patra does not come to the rescue of the devotees in certain situations which are materially motivated. But even in such situations, because the Pandavas were wholesale dedicated to Krishna, Krishna actually became Akshaya for them. So this is the day when we can meditate on this and choose again and again to hear, to meditate on what has been heard, improve ourselves and again use our intelligence to choose the right path. Maya arpita mano buddhir mam evaishyasi asamshaya. So with these few thoughts, we'll end the class. We have 3 or 4 minutes. So if somebody has any comments or somebody has any questions, we can take a few. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai.